Today's message then is entitled Decisions. I think we are in an age of decisions, aren't we? We look at our government and we see they're trying to decide what to do with themselves. There is a song like that, "I'm undecided now, so what am I going to do?" How many have heard that one? Nobody? How old am I? You've heard it, Sue. Come on, help me out. "I'm undecided now, so what am I gonna do?" Okay, thank you. So I rely on her because she used to sing all of these old standards. On ships, wasn't it? Go out on ships and sing and so on like that. But oh, what an age of decision we're in. Well, every day you made a decision to come here today, do you know? Some are still home trying to make up their mind. Well, it's too late now. Well, you should have decided sooner. But also, following along with this decisions, we're in an age of opinions. By the thousands. Everyone seems to have an opinion. Well, why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it that way? And have you ever thought of? You know when the opinionated people with opinions come to you? When you're undecided. Elijah asked the people this question, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." 1 Kings 18 and 21. And then, like now, he was saying, "Will you please make up your mind?" Maybe you're in here today and you're having trouble making up your mind about something. Aren't we fickle at times? What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Back and forth and back and forth. Well, I don't know. I just can't make up my mind. Are you hearing this today? But he's saying, "Will you please make up your mind? Go one way or go the other." Did you ever meet someone and you start this thing back and forth and back and forth, and finally you just decide to stop? Because you can't get by each other? But he seems to be saying, "Will you please do something? You are making me nervous." Doesn't that make you nervous, being around someone that cannot make up their mind? Cannot make a decision? Cannot be decisive in any way? He seems to be saying, "You're irritating me." It's like asking someone if they can come in to help. "Well, maybe next Monday." No. Maybe the Monday after. He seems to be saying, "Stop walking down the middle of the road. Stop playing church. Stop two-facing." I had a message on peace not too long back, but see, if you have no peace, you have no power. You have no power to go ahead when you don't have any peace on a thing. And peace comes through a decision, even if it hurts. Maybe you're at a decision time in your life. Some decisions are a little heavier than others because they're followed by a lot of opinions. "What do you think I should do?" And then the person tells you what they think, and you don't want to do that. Or maybe you got a half a mind to do it this way and a half a mind to do it that way. And then you get half-minded people to come and give their opinions, and they really are half-minded. It's like being here. I mean, if you're not all here, if you're home someplace cooking or something like that while you're here, you're not all there. I believe then it was a day to be remembered. It said that the multitudes assembled at the foot of Mount Carmel. It was God's man, the Bible says, against 450 priests of the false god. Now, he'd been hiding out for 3.5 years. And the crows, the Bible said, fed him. And so today, let's divide these people into three groups. First, we have the devoted servant, Jehovah. One solitary prophet. Listen, preacher, if you're listening on the radio right now. Sometimes when you get into something, you have to stand, and you have to stand all alone against all of the opinions, and there is a lot of them, let me tell you. But then we have, on the other hand, the decided servants of the evil one. 450 prophets of Baal. Of course, we always have, firstly, the devoted servants to Jehovah. But I believe the vast majority, and I'm just ministering from what I know about people, I believe the vast majority gathered that day were undecided, because there were multitudes, it says. There was 450 prophets of Baal, but there were a lot of people watching. There's a lot of watchers. Whatever that you do in your life, you are being watched. Now, I'm not trying to make you paranoid. But if you're doing something that's interesting, that's controversial, you will be watched. Isn't there a song like that? The eyes of Texas are upon you, huh? Undecided. They didn't know what they wanted. Isn't that a problem in our life? We do not know what we want. I remember my first date. Oh, I had gone out with girls, but my first bona fide, put your suit on with your little zits on your face and little peach fuzz coming out, date. And the girl I went out with couldn't, she would just, I love you so. Well, I wasn't ready for that. But I noticed as we went out, it was sort of like a prom thing I got in on, that, everybody that came in the door, well, that looked good, and this one looked good, and that one looked good, and I thought, hey, what's going on here? It was my first lesson in people that are undecided. And she couldn't make up her mind whether she liked me or the different ones that were coming in the door. That was kind of my first lesson in fickleness. She was undecided. Maybe you're listening on a radio and you have that same type of a problem. Well, I think there's a lot of people with that problem. They just get a roommate, and then they switch roommates. I don't know. I seen a girl the other day. She'd probably make a better roommate than you. What a way to go, huh? Undecided. Well, shall we keep this baby? Or shall we kill it? People right now, while I'm speaking, are trying to make that decision. And then there's those that have done that, that they certainly need to know that they are fully pardoned, fully forgiven. But maybe you're trying to make that decision even now. Well, what am I going to do? I got this roommate that wants to move out. And I got this growth happening to me. What am I going to do? Will people accept me? Will they love me? What's going to happen? I gotta make a decision. And so the vast majority that gathered there that day were undecided people, because there's a lot of them, always will be. Should we follow Jehovah or should we follow Baal? They had a fear of Jehovah, but they had a greater interest in Baal, the god of Jezebel. And so many of them were secret and half-hearted followers of Jehovah. Nothing more dangerous than a person that's heifers. They only go halfway when they're thinking. And so they were half-hearted followers, in the woodwork followers of Jehovah, but publicly they worshipped Baal. And so the mass of them were one half-hearted followers. I think a half a heart is no heart at all. Would you like to have a half-hearted doctor work on you? Scalpel. Sutures. Half-hearted. I just don't feel like cutting today. And the person's bleeding. I don't know. I'm not into it. You're into it. You better sew it up. Would you want a half-hearted mechanic working on your car? Well, I put spark plugs in on this side, but I don't know. It probably doesn't need it on the other side. Drive it, let me know what happens. Half-heartedness. You can't trust a half-hearted person. One day, you don't know which half they're going to follow. But anyway, we have people here that were halting between two opinions. So now I'm ministering to these three groups this very morning. You listening on the radio. And I hope there will be a very large number who are on Jehovah's side all the way, who fear God and serve Him. And also we have a number who are on the devil's side, who make no profession of Jesus Christ whatsoever. And they're all right, because they're ice cold. Jesus said, I would that you be red hot or ice cold, because if you're lukewarm, I don't know where you're at. I have to spew you out. So you have to explain yourself, because right away, oh, these people were following the devil. They were, judge ye not the world, lest ye come under judgment yourself. For they're already under judgment. Don't judge the world. They're already under judgment. They're already suffering under the weight of sin. Don't judge the prostitute. She has a God's consciousness and she's suffering with it. But anyway, I think the very vast number of my listeners will be waverers. Isn't that a sort of a flimsy? That's the right word, isn't it? Waverers. Because they're always wavering goodbye to you. Or wavering hello to you. Bible says, like empty clouds, they are driven hither and thither by the wind. They're sort of like painted flowers. Or a painting of fruit. They have a name to live and are dead. Procrastinators. Can't we all fall into that procrastination? You should write a song on that, Sue. Procrastination, huh? Don't we though? We halt and we procrastinate. A lot of times when I don't want to do something, especially after the Lord has spoken to me to do it, and I want to put it off until another day, I say, no, no, you don't. You mean you talk to yourself? Well, a lot of times that's all I have. Well, do you always agree with yourself? Hardly ever. Double-minded men, uncommitted, let's say, shuffle-footed fence riders. Undecided people do sort of shuffle. Do you ever notice it? Oh, I don't know. And when you're a kid, could you make up your mind? Oh, I don't know. That's all kids can say. We get to be about 12, 13, 14. Will you do that? What do you think of that? I don't know. Why'd you do that? I don't know. My mother used to ask me that all the time. Why did you do that? I don't know. Oh, yes, you do. And you're going to sit in there until you do know. Now, you decide that in your mind right now. So that when my dad came home and asked me, why did you do that? I'd be decided. He'd come in and say, why did you do that? And I'd answer, after much thought, I don't know. Then my dad would get together with my mother and I could hear him out there. She'd ask him, what happened? He says, I don't know. You know what? That's where that kid gets all this. All of this undecision. See, my mother was really good at seeing all that. But a lot of times she was undecided too. How many in here are undecided about something right now today? I'm kind of undecided what I should do. Huh? What should I do? Well, at least you know you're not all alone, right? You can all say in unison, in chorus, I don't know. Are you hearing this message? Wavers. I think indecision is a terrible city to live in. It never sleeps. Can you sleep when you're undecided about something? You get up and the only decision you can make at 2 o'clock in the morning is go to the icebox. That's always an easy decision to make. Not too long ago, I went out and I thought, all I got up here is some cornflakes and some milk. So I went to the store and I was hungry. Well, I don't know, it was 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. They stay open all night. So I bought ribs. I couldn't decide whether I liked them or not. Well, they're good, but these steaks look good. So I bought some steaks, some ribs, and some chicken. I got home, and I had cornflakes. But oh, what a terrible city it is to live in the city of indecision. People never sleep. They're busy biting their nails and scratching their heads, trying to make up their mind. Undecided people, how long halt ye between two opinions? Isn't that a terrible city to live in? Be like people at the cafe. I got this message from waiting tables. I started at about 10 years old. Became a professional waiter. A singing waiter. To sing along to the jukebox. Now I'm a singing preacher. I don't sing very well, but I sing anyway. But I got this message in looking at people. Mother says, now this is a person coming in. You see, they will not be able to make up their mind. She was a good reader of character. They won't be able to make up their mind. So just put their water down, give them the menu, and disappear. Then go over, she says, after about 7-8 minutes and tell them what they want. This is very good. Have this. Be decisive when you look right in their eyes and say, well, I'll tell you what's very good on here. And like it's a secret, see? I'll tell you what's very good on here. Oh, yeah, now you got their attention. This is really good. Ham, hocks, and cabbage. A lot of you people don't even know what that is. How many have had ham, hocks, and cabbage? Okay, there's a couple of you. Oh, here's a guy. Look, he's going to get sick. And really, you know what? I think I'll have that. They didn't think of it at all. And so I was up at the cafe the other day and I was watching someone and I'll have that. No. Scratch that. May after this, you hear this message, may you after this. Halt no longer. Be able to make a decision in your life and say, no longer, Lord, do I halt. Here I am, send me. A person asked me not too long ago, I've asked me several times, I wonder why God used you. I said, well, it's a mystery. There's a lot of mysteries in the gospel. But you see, I think it was because I was available through a decision. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't used that qualify, but they just can't make up their minds. Here I am, Lord, send me. And the Lord looks around. Oh, man. Well, there's nobody else, so I guess I'll have to send him. And my grace will be sufficient. I like this. This man is a problem child, and he knows it. And he knows that he's going to have to depend on me, and now I can work with him because my strength is made perfect in his weakness. I think it was it Friday night, I had a message on we owe. I am a debtor. I am obligated. And I said, the more you get into Jesus Christ, the more you move in the things of the Spirit, the more obligated you are. So someone with 10 talents says, I got 10 talents. and starts to boast about all the talents he has that God has given him. You only got one. Well, don't boast. And I'll tell you why. You're a bigger debtor. Now, you owe God more. And you just go on owing God more and more and more and more and more until you give your life up. Bible says, give your life to gain your life. And that's so hard to do, to give up our life to gain it. I mean, totally give up our life, our personalities. Hi. Being seen. Leaving the evangelistic scene, the hyper-praise scene where everybody goes. Oh, everybody that was anybody was there. It was beautiful. Christians get into that. Everybody that was anybody. God is no respecter of persons. Guy out there in a gutter out there with vomit all over his front that cries out for Jesus holds the same rank as the top evangelist. Did you ever think about it that way? So if you have more talents, you owe God more. So number one, note the prophet insisted upon the distinction here which existed between the worship of Baal and the worship of Jehovah. Most of the people who were before him thought like this. And they thought, well, yes, that Jehovah was God, but Baal was God too. I mean, there's room for both, they thought. And so they worshiped both, and the prophet said, this is impossible. But they thought still, but we are of one opinion. We will build one house with two altars, one for Jehovah and one for Baal. Didn't that solve it? I am of one opinion. They are both God. That's my opinion. No, said Elijah. This is not one opinion, but two. This is not one persuasion, but two persuasions. Well, some of you listening will say probably something like this. Well, I do love God, but I also love the world. I'm worldly and I'm religious. I love the bar room and I love my friends in the bar room and I also love the prayer room. Light and dark won't mix. You remember the story of Mark Anthony? He had two lions that pulled his chariot. But we can't yoke the two together. We can't yoke the lion of the tribe of Judah and the lion from the pit. We can't be unequally yoked, the Bible says. Well, even in politics, you can't be a Republican and a Democrat. Isn't that so evident right now when our president is in a little bit of trouble? Well, what do you say a little bit? I say a little bit because it is a little bit. In the magnitude of things that happen every day? No, but you see, they have two opinions. The Democrats have one, the Republicans have another. And they can't mix. You'll end up being hated. You try to mix the two. No, if God be God, serve Him. But go all the way. Don't go halfway. Serve Him thoroughly, serve Him obediently, and serve Him joyfully. Now, that's something you can't do on your own. It's done by the grace of God. Did you ever try to be joyful? It's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Someone, you're feeling way down and you're feeling depressed, and someone comes up and says, be joyful! They better run. They've opened themselves up to a knuckle sandwich. Be happy, huh? We do that to our kids all the time. What's the matter? Be happy, mommy's boy. Kid's going through some type of trauma. He's got sand in his hair, a cut on his arm. He doesn't want to hear that. Be happy, mama's boy, huh? What's he going to say? I don't want to. Isn't that what we say? Are you hearing this? How many are hearing this message? Sit down, honey. No, if God be God, serve Him thoroughly, truthfully, obediently, and joyfully. Give your life. I wondered about that when I got saved. It was give your life to gain your life. And I thought, oh, well, gee, give everything up? The Lord spoke to me. He says, well, your life is drinking. Your life is smoking. Your life is making money. And what is it made out of you? I thought, well, it's made me miserable. Here, take it. And if you're going to serve the world and the devil, then jump in with both feet and just have at it. Time they were having an argument about, should Christians drink wine? Did Jesus drink wine? Well, I said, if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. That's what the Word of God says. No greater love with a man than he would die for a friend. Give his life for a friend. If your life is drinking, you give that up for a friend, then you gain. But I think we shouldn't jump in the world's manure piles and then, you know, try to get involved in church things. You can smile all you want to. Your stink will find you out. In the end, you cannot serve two masters. God won't have you. See, Satan will take you on if you're only a halfer, because he can manipulate you. A lot of businessmen that are listening to me right now are serving two gods, Mammon and God. Bankers with their high interest rates. Rich men with their high tax breaks. They're buying Lincolns and Cadillacs. And during an economic crisis. No, see, the more you have, Mr. Wealthy Pants, the more you have, the same as me, the more that I learn and the more that I move in God and the more that we have, the more we owe. And I talked to a guy and he says, yeah, but my broker is a Christian. Well, I said, what's that got to do with it? Well, grandma and grandpa get Medicare cuts and Minnie Gasco hikes her roulette wheel meter. And the property taxes raise and raise and raise and they're forced into a nursing home at $1,300 to $2,000 a month. And you go in some of them and they smell like one big bedpan all the way through that place. Say amen, somebody. Oh, gee, don't talk like that. Hey, tell the truth and the truth will set you free. That needs Mr. Clean to go in there and clean some of them places out. Tidy Bowl needs to go in there. Not all of them, but some of them. And for that $1,300 or $2,000 a month, you get very little care a lot of times. They don't even want to look at you. What is it, Emma? It's just like these people are little teeny kids. And they're stuck in there and they lose their care. They're just blobs of flesh sitting there waiting to die. And it could be the best decor that ever could be. God, help me. Don't ever send me to one of them places. If I get in real bad shape, throw me up on top of a mountain and I'll just lay up on top there and die. I don't want to go. Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. But yeah, you see the people and they're all hung down. Maybe there's someone that can't decide whether they want to go see him or not. Oh, should we go see Mother? Oh, I don't know, the last time we were there, she was so depressed and mean with the kids. You remember 1976 when we were there? Yeah, think about that you owe. The world says, let's invest in the commodities. Let's invest in the phone company and the gas company and the electric company. Let's get into the loaning business. We're in an age of, we just can't make up our mind what we want to get into. Well, let's get into that. And then we can raise the prices. And we can manipulate the market. I thought myself one time about people that come to church. This particular time I was thinking about women that come to church. And I thought, how many women come to church and are received right in and they're full of wrath? And they're full of bitterness and gossip and backbiting and a slave to mischief, a tattler and a slander and a busybody entering into other people's houses, the Bible says, and turning everything that faintly resembles any kind of comfort out of the minds of those whom she comes in contact with. Listen, lady, and maybe you're a church lady, maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. You can't serve both. Sometimes the God that we serve, the other God, is ourselves. We idolize ourselves and we become a God. Beware of these busybody women. Some even now in this age claim to be prophets of God. I am a prophet of God. But what God do they serve? Did you know that we're in an age of that? Everybody is a self-appointed prophet. And all over, night after night, in assemblies, we're having self-appointed prophetesses and prophets prophesying over each other. They don't make any moves on themselves because they can't decide, so they have to have some prophetesses or some prophet decide for them. Well, what do you think I should do? One guy called me and says, "See, would you pray about me getting a new car?" I said, "No, I'm too busy praying for one myself. Goodbye." I mean, these things are just so totally asinine, I don't believe it. "Would you pray about whether we're supposed to move into this new house or not?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to, but just let me ask a question. How much is that house selling for?" "Well, $175,000, but it's a really nice place. My wife just loves it." "Yeah, well," I said, "you're not even working right now." "Well, we're by faith." And then we just want to confirm, we got a word the other night, we're going to move into a great, beautiful house. And we just want confirmation. I said, "Well, I won't give it to you." "I don't want to be instrumental in your suicide."
There's so much unreality, I don't believe it. And it's so easy to be realistic and just get in your billfold and say, no. God, you fill this billfold up and give me a job that meets that house, and then I'll go get that house. No, we'd rather have someone, well, sit down there. How you feeling? Great. See, you're looking great. Okay, let's get on with the business at hand here. Well, what did God say? He said, don't be the one like in the boat, oh ye of little faith. Sail on out of here. And we're in an age of all of this nonsense. Oh, but the Bible says, despise not prophecy. Hey, it's all in. It's right here in the book of Revelation. All in. All prophecy is in. Someone prophesies, he'll come right out of this book. See, we can't make up our minds. So, what do you see? I want a man. It's easy to please people. It's easy to play the part of the charlatan and come up from a Florida writing books on how to be a Christian evangelist that floats up in the springtime and summertime and come up and tell people. There's going to be a tall, dark stranger coming into your life. Well, might be the bill collector, but I don't. Does he have a sort of a swooping mustache and grease down here? I mean, you just got to look at this thing and say, this is totally nonsense what people are hearing right now, because they cannot make up their mind to open the Bible and seek God and pray about it and say, Lord, if it's to be so, close every door or open every door. Whatever's going to be will be, but you open the doors up or close the doors and that'll be the answer. Give me an answer, yes or no, by opening or closing doors. And the person told me, well, that's not faith. What is the desire of your heart? And I said, well, who can know the heart? It's desperately wicked, and who can know it? Are you hearing this today? A lot of nonsense, and you listening on the radio. Now you turn me off, and now you turn me back on again, because you want to find out what it... Call, and I'll give you a tape of this message. So you won't have to take notes and where you bust your lead and can't find a pencil and all. But I mean, if you profess to love the Lord Jesus Christ, then do it all the way and for His glory. Did you ever try to contain some glory for yourself so that you were all lit up? So that when you walk down the street, people would say, you know something? There's an aura around that person. A shining light. And people would just sort of turn and know that there was the presence of a spiritual presence in their being. Oh, did you feel that? Why, that was Sister So-and-so walking through with her flowing gowns. And so we do a lot of things for our own glory sometimes. Sometime back I ministered and I said, you know, people cannot contain glory. Huh? We love Randy Bebop. We love him. We love him. And a lot of them end up committing suicide or taking drugs. They can't
How would you like somebody outside your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, "We praise you! We praise you!" You'd get a shotgun out after a while. Stop praising me! We're not made for the praises of men. About the only thing praises will do for you is get you a big head. Great, huge head. That's why my head is so small. It's been stuck with a pin more than once. How many hearing this message today? Oh God. See, we just got to get realistic in our preaching, don't we? And I think the double-minded man is of all men the most despicable. Disgusting Uncle Toms. Grinning two-faced chassis cats. You ever been around a chassis cat? They smile when they ain't supposed to smile. They smile all the time. Huh? They smile at everybody. They smile at God. Smile at the devil. Want a beer? Sure. Like to hear some Bible verses? Sure. Why did you do that? I don't know. Oh, I think that's uglier than sin itself. But Elijah also asked, look at the time that you've wasted. Did you ever... The other day I was going to do some housework. And I didn't know where to start. Everything was a mess. And I went in and I thought, no, I better... get some dishes in here. And I got about halfway through and I seen a pile of stuff over there and I dropped it and I ran over there. And I thought, well, I'll get the bed first. No, because I got to wash the sheets and... Well, no. Huh? Do you know where you start when you're in a mess? Right there. Work your way out of it. You could trip over some garbage and break your neck. Start right there. Be decisive. But have you ever done that? You just don't know where to start. So you sit down and watch an afternoon program. It's easy to decide to sit down, isn't it? I think a lot of people can decide that very easily. Well, what'd you decide? When they say, "I don't know," and they're sitting down, you say, "Well, I know what you decided. You decided not to do it. You decided to sit down." But some might have said, "Give us a little more time to make a choice. I just can't make up my mind that quick." We need more time to make up our minds. I was talking to Alicia the other night, and she had taken some people out and showed them a house. They couldn't. Well, we just can't make our minds up that quick. And while they were making their minds up, somebody else bought the house. Did you ever do that with something? Go back to get it? Oh, I'm sorry, that went right away. Yeah. But anyway, the prophet puts away that objection and says, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Stop all this nonsense and saying, "Well, I need more time." How long, it says. How long? In other words, for 3.5 years, not one drop of rain. You remember the king? I did a message on the king one time. He sent a servant out ahead of him to find Elijah.
And he found Elijah after this 3.5 years, and in all the king's sandals, the strap had busted, and his gowns were all wrecked and torn, and their cattle were laying out there with the tongue hanging out and flies buzzing around them. And the servant met Elijah, and he says, the king wants to see you. Well, tell the king I'm here. If he wants to, he can come see me. I'm not going to go to him. And so now the king had a decision whether he was going to go see Elijah. Elijah had already decided that he wasn't going to cotton to him. And boy, when you're decisive and you can make decisions, you worry people. Oh, this guy, I can feel it. He's getting ready to make a decision. Oh, no. Guy come and asked me one day. He says, hey, you know what? The truck is full here, and we got more stuff over there. I said, well, that's an easy decision. Unload all this and go get it. I knew you were going to say that. But 3.5 years now, one drop of rain has fallen at the command of Jehovah. Isn't that proof enough? Look, all the cattle are dead. You're starving. Your babies are dying. Some were even eating their babies. The fields are all dried up. The meadows are dust. And the fruit is non-existent. Your land has become a desert. Yet, all this time of judgment and trial and tribulation and affliction has not been enough time for you to make up your mind. So many times we'll go through so many trials and so many tribulations, and we just know we're going the wrong way, and we just know it, but we're too stubborn and we don't want to turn around. How long halt ye between two opinions? And I'm not talking today to the thoroughly worldly, but to you and listen on the radio, you hear. To you who seek to serve God and Satan. And so now the time of choosing is now open. We're coming into a period of choose. Oh, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to choose. Even now in some of the states, you can't have more than 3 or 4 people together in a house and have the shades drawn. You can't open a Bible up. One fine day, they'll walk in these doors and they'll say, Pastor, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes. I ministered this one time and I had a couple of young people that didn't believe it. I said, well, go to this meeting. There's going to be the World Council of Churches. And they started to define what was a church and what was not a church. And they said, you know what? It's the truth. Already they're setting up guidelines to what a church really is. So we're coming into an era of you're going to have to choose who you will follow. Some of you listening have followed and halted, I should say, until your hair is gray or gone. How long halt ye? Maybe you're 80 and you're in a nursing home. How long halt ye? In the name of reason, why halt ye? In the name of morality, why halt ye? In the name of death, why halt ye? In the name of eternity, why halt ye? In the name of Jesus, why halt ye? You middle-aged men, with Grecian formula on your hair, how long halt ye? How long? You rich gals with 14 facelifts, with 3 pounds of skin sewed behind your ears, how long halt ye? I saw a TV show, and these women, they were in their 80s, and they had their face stretched so tight from all of these things, they looked like painted eggs. And they had tuck jobs done, and they had, I mean, you know, I'm not against that, but I mean, you know, when you get so much, you can't even smile. But how many sermons must you hear? How many heart convictions do you need? How many Sundays must roll away? How many tapes must you hear? How many radio messages must you hear? How many warnings? How many funerals must you attend? How many sicknesses must you have? How many warning bells must you hear? How many graves must be dug before you are impressed? Time is passing on. Person come up to me and says, Paul, and I knew they were shocked because they hadn't seen me in about 15 years. They were going to say, what happened to you? But they kind of, you look great. I said, well, thank you. I take all the compliments that I can get, and I don't ask questions. But you can look in your album and know that you're passing away. Got some little baby pictures like your little one there. No, I was probably about, my mother always went by months, so I think it says 26 months or like that, 27 months. And she probably would still do that if she was alive today. I'd be, I don't know how many hundreds of months old. In days and minutes. She had everything down. Just drive you crazy with all that knowledge. But you can just take a look at your life and just know it's passing on. Right? Isn't it? And you know, the thing about it is, now, it's like you two. Now you owe more. Now you got a couple kids. Now you owe more. And then they get a little older and you owe them more. You're debtors. I was thinking about it the other day. We're dealing with 35,000 people. And I owe. I'm in debt up to my ears. But that's what it's all about. Giving your life. You only have trouble with it when you don't give your life to it. Put everything you got into it. Be of one mind. Look at abortion. Now you can kill up to 9 months. Well, does the child talk yet? No, not yet. Well, then he's not a human being. Shoot him. That's the next step. Is this man productive? How old is he? Well, I'd say senile. He's 75 years old. Well, put him in this chamber and they'll open up these round cylinders and they'll crawl inside this cylinder and all of a sudden, whoop, you're gone. I think it's dangerous to talk like that, but that's what they're talking about. You have the right to make the decision. How many know that even when you were 4 years old, you had days when you wish you were dead? So you didn't have to face something. Sometimes we need people to help us make decisions. We need to seek God. But how long hold ye? What an age of contradiction that we live in. We're arguing over abortion and so on like that, and we're killing people off with germ warfare. and building more and more bombs. How long halt ye, so-called Christians in government? Right now we're paying people not to plant. We're killing the cattle off. Dairy cows are killed by the thousands. And people are promising that within a 5-year period they will not touch another cow. Well, how many earthquakes and how many floods and how much pollution and how much perversion, how much murder? How much suicide will it take to persuade you? Person asked me the other day, did you ever have to come to that decision in your life whether you should, you know, do yourself in or not? I said, yep. What? Yeah, I says, I made a study on it. I think about 99% of the people at one time or another have thought of that. Because they haven't made a decision yet. Decision to give their life. Now there's nothing you can take because you've already given it to God. So time is running out. Answer now. And don't allow the sands of time to drop, 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 run right through the hourglass saying, pretty soon now, just a little longer now, could you ask me tomorrow? No, the Bible says now is the day of salvation. You may find yourself in hell. How long, young people listening to me on the radio, halt ye between two opinions? We're in an age of the outpouring. We're in an age of the infillings. You would think this question would require little time to answer. But no. Give me a little more time. I'll ask you a question. How many in here want $1 million? It wouldn't take you long to answer, would it? Someone in the audience, well, I answered before they did, and the fight would be on. Oh, yeah, well, he didn't hear me. Besides that, I was prophesied over it. I'd be getting $1 million. It's mine. It wouldn't take us long to make up our mind. You wouldn't halt then, would you? And so if we're interested in the things of God, we shouldn't hesitate either, but say at once, now God is my God forever. And so also I believe Elijah here charges the people with the absurdity of their position. Some of them said, well, you mean to tell me we can't continue to halt between two opinions? After all, isn't it our business? We're really not distorted. Not like some of the people we know. We mind our own business. Sure, we serve two gods, but that's not so bad. We raise up our families to be good people. We tell them, have fun. If one thing I've learned in my life, have fun. Have fun like I used to have fun? Sitting on a bar stool, solving all the world's problems? Sin in moderation? How do you moderately drink? How are you a little discreet? And so the prophet still says, how long halt ye between two opinions? You're not fooling anybody. Look at your feet. One is pointing one way and one the other. How long are you going to halt? You're not fooling anybody. Even your folks will say, hey, don't stall. You ever stall? You didn't want to go to school, and so you pulled a stall action, hoping your mother wouldn't know and the bus would go by? Well, years ago, they didn't have buses. You'd pray the school would burn down. Oh, if only somebody would blow up this. Take bazookas out there and blow it up. Stalling. Do you ever find yourself, preacher, you listening on the radio, in a position of stalling? Someone asks you a question. Could you excuse me for a minute? Then you have to go make your excuse up. How long halt ye between two opinions? I have a way of helping people make up their minds whether they want to be mission people. And a guy comes, I know God called me to this work. Oh, Pastor Paul, I'm so glad to see you. I haven't seen you in years. And oh, it's so great and so glorious helping people and feeding the poor. He started crying and tears start coming down. Just a minute, I'll get you some toilet paper. I mean, he overacted. I felt like saying, cut! Overacting. Too much rehearsal. You ruined it. It's not natural enough. I didn't say that. I said, hey, we have a truckload of canned goods that just came in. There was something like 5,000 or 6,000 of these heavy number 10, 6 in a case canned goods. So he says, I'll do it. Oh, he was so happy. He went out of the room. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Do you remember that guy, Janine? You weren't here then? Oh, God. Oh, the banners were flying. Cannons were going off. Boom, boom. I mean, it was like the Battle of Bull Run. Excuse me! He was knocking down the crowds to get to these canned goods. Less than 25 minutes, he was gone, and I never seen that guy again. Just a fluke. He was out there until he got a little back pain, see? Oh, God, do you really want me to do this? No. Go out. Go to the highways and the byways. Prophesy unto everyone. I knew it. Off he goes. I wonder sometimes when people do things like that, it's like they're saying God is in confusion. It tells them to do one thing and it was, oh, this is of God. And then he tells them to do another thing, just the opposite. Well, yeah, but see, he was just testing me. How many are hearing this? And I'm closing it. How long halt ye, double-minded, double-purpose person? The prophet laughs at them, and he taunts them. These men cooped up with all these crows flying and dropping these breadcrumbs all this time. He's looking for a little bit of excitement. He says, you're a mess. And while they were up there cutting themselves, in the original Greek it says they were up there, they were marring their bodies and cutting their bodies and were yelling and screaming for fire to come. Yeah! For rain to come, see. And they were cutting their bodies and so on. And you know what Elijah says to them? Did you ever hear this story? Elijah says like this in the original Greek, where is your God? Did he go to the toilet? That's what it says in the original Greek. Do you believe he made them mad? He says, you're a mess, look at you. And so then also the devil has to laugh, doesn't he? The devil says, you know, I get something out of this, but you don't get anything. You don't have the pleasure of the world, and you don't have the pleasure of Jesus. You have the fears of religion without its hope. That's where the legalist stands. Are you hearing this? Listen to it. You can read about it later. Okay? You are afraid to do wrong, yet you have no hope of heaven. Are you hearing this? Come on, now hear me. Hear the message. Get into private Bible studies afterwards. You are afraid to do wrong, yet you have no hope of heaven. Even the devil makes sense, doesn't he? Even the devil a lot of times is more realistic than we are. He says, you know you're miserable. Who are you trying to kid? Look at you. You're putting on airs and you're putting on a face and you're doing the thing, but you are miserable. Why don't you admit it? I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I had 2 weeks of pure heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Da, da, dee, 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 dee. And then I went through 9 months of hell. And I was trying to act like it was just great. How's it doing? Great! And all the time I was doing it, I knew I was a great and a colossal phony. Because, see, I was always a realist. My mother made me that way. When I was going through deliverances, see, and if you don't let the deliverances happen, then you just got to continue on being a phony. You know the way to God, the quickest way to God is telling the truth. And the truth says to set you free. God, I feel like a colossal phony and I've been that way for years and years and years and I want to change. Will you help me? Woo-hoo, look up. Right? Don't we all fall into that though? How are you? And so then I got under sort of undecided about, God, I don't know if I like this, being a Christian. Did that happen to you? It didn't? Well, it happens to everybody. Jesus was tempted. Were you ever tempted? Well, you're tempted every day. Every day. To make the wrong decision or not to make any at all. For God's sakes, why did I become a Christian? I went and I blabbed everybody these last 2 weeks and now I'm miserable. I lost all my friends. Before I just had the devil and I got the world. I got the devil. Demon spirits, angel spirits, and I got all mixed up and I got more undecided. You know why? Because I didn't want to be real. Because I didn't want to make any admissions. Because I had become so holy in that 2 weeks, I didn't believe how great I was. I have since learned the meaning of the scriptures, ye can do nothing without me. Nothing. Not one thing can you do without the Lord. Nothing. And so the prophet is jibing them and laughing at them. And the devil is laughing at them. No, you're not getting anything out of this, the devil says. Ah, ha, 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 become a Christian. Now look at you. You have the duties of the church without the joy. What a drag. Now, a mission church like ours certainly has duties. It's not a place for the half-hearted. See, you have to... The devil goes on. He says, you have to do just like we do. I guess we could ask the people the same thing. You have to come to church, and you don't want to come to church. And you have to sing, and you don't want to sing. And you have to listen to that miserable message, and you don't want to listen to it. And you have to praise God, you don't feel like that. And you have to pray. But see, your heart isn't in it. How long hold ye, you miserable pretenders? How hard it is to put on something that isn't and hasn't been put in. That's like a pretended sympathy. Did you ever have somebody pretend sympathy towards you? Oh, and they got a half a smile on their face while they're talking to you? Huh? Oh, what happened to you? And you got your legs up in the hospital and your arms up all in casts, and they come in with a half a sympathy, half a smile. What happened to you? Huh? Pretenders! Oh, a doctor with a bedside manner that has a pretended sympathy that isn't into what he's doing. Or a preacher that pretends he likes what he... You mean you like every day exactly what you do? No, some days I don't like it at all. Uh-oh, confession time. I knew it. No, I'm being honest. Sometimes my flesh says, I do not want to pack one more bag. 11,998. It's 12,000 every month. 11,999. You know, going on like that, see. But see, I've been made willing to do that. There's nothing I can do about it. Been made willing to do it. I didn't want to do it. There's a song like that. Sue, do you know this song? You made me do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me do it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. Huh? Jesus made me do it. I didn't want to do it. But after making me do it over and over and over again, I was made willing. Are you willing now? Just like parents with their kids. Are you willing now after this spanking? Now are you willing to put your shoes on and tie them and wash those dirty feet? What if you get hit? Why if you get hit by a truck? My mother used to say, look at those underwear! I said, Ma, I don't care what happens. I mean, who'd care what happens after you get hit by a truck? I said, I could tell you what would happen if I seen the truck coming. Then what would they ever think of you, Ma? Right. Or people that come to church and they have no appetite for the message, or you talk to them, they have no appetite for the gospel. Some people would even gag them. It's kind of like kids when you make them eat. Remember, Debbie was a great one. She would, you're going to sit there until you eat everything. She still eats like a bird, doesn't she? And so what she would do with her food was stick it in her pocket. I said, you kids are going to sit there, and you're going to sit there until you eat every bit of that food. It's the same way we're giving people a message sometimes. They don't eat it, they just stick it in their pocket. And she'd go in the bathroom and you could hear the sink running there. Plug up the sink, or then she didn't dare flush the toilet. It gags people! Or some say, well, it's not tasty enough for me. It's too hot, or it's too cold, or it's too long, or it's too pointed. See, heavenly angel food could not bring a smile to their face. You know why? They're half and half. You ask some of the moms that are listening how hard it is to cook for picky people. You ever been around somebody that's picky? But what a weird one you are. You try and speak like 100% Christian and you're like a person who knows a little bit of French. I used to have this friend of mine in the service. He is from the South. And some Frenchmen came into our outfit. So he knew just enough French to be dangerous. Did you ever hear a Southerner try to act like a Frenchman? Parlez-vous français? And the Frenchman had a look at him and he laughed. No, I got to say this in the closing minutes here. No, make a decision, you on the radio, to come to Jesus. Make a decision to say, Lord, I need you in my life. You listening on the radio, stop hopping from one branch to another like a nervous sparrow, light bird, light. And say, yes, Lord, I need you, and I need your perfect peace, and I need you in my life. Stop hopping around. You'll find no joy and no peace and no rest and no comfort. You'll be miserable your whole long life through. Are you hearing this message? Well, I don't know what's sin and what isn't sin. Well, let's say that you were at heaven's gates, and soon enough we would know if there was a little checkboard there, and we got true and false questions. And one of the questions would be, is homosexuality a sin? How would you answer? When you're trying to get in now. Gossip is a sin. How would you answer? Backbiting and drunkenness and so on and so on. Is Jesus the Son of God? We'd sure know how to answer all of those questions, wouldn't we? Now listen, I could go on, but I'm going to close. But I see the point here is people know the truth down here, but don't accept it. There is only one way out of this world. And when you get to heaven, all you're going to find up there is sinners. What? Sinners saved by grace. That's all you'll ever be when you get there. If you can't admit that you're a sinner, you can't even get into heaven because Jesus said, I came to save sinners. Paul even came to the conclusion that I am the most of all sinners, ahead of the whole group. Now, let's make a decision here and let's make a profession here. And so God, in the story of Mount Carmel, let fire fall, and they probably yelled out, but we need rain, not fire! God says, no. If I just send rain, you'd say, well, it's just providence. It was going to rain anyway. It's about time. So God has to send fire a lot of times. God has to send trials into your life, and God has to send times into your life, you understand, so that you'll receive. You that are new Christians, you're going to have to go through those trials and those traumatic times. Maybe something will even have to be taken away from you so that you can be helped to make a decision. Sometimes we have to lose things so we can decide. Did you know that? I hope that my message today has helped you. See, because in the end, God is the one that helps you decide. You cannot decide even on your own. Did you know that? You know, I never asked you this, Donna, and all the time I was there, but have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? No, and I knew that you were here today for that reason. And you know what? It's so simple. Don't let anybody complicate it for you. The Bible says the gospel message is this: if you'll confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that will be saved. It's as simple as that. When you leave here and you go to the great white throne of judgment, did you know you'll never be judged according to sin because all sin has been passed away? Jesus died for all the sin of all the world. Anyone teaches any different, then they're not preaching the gospel and they're denying the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers all sins, and God says, I'll put them into the deepest sea and I'll never remember them anymore. And so try one day not to sin and find out what a sinner you really are. Try one day to keep all of the Ten Commandments perfectly. I mean, according to God now. And you know, the Bible says if you break one, you break them all. Did you perfectly love today? Did you perfectly do all of the Ten Commandments? There's no way that you could be perfect in them because there's only one perfect one that did the whole job for you, and that was Jesus Christ, namely Jesus, that died on the cross for you to cover all your sins. But when you get, again, to the great white throne of judgment, you won't be judged according to sin. You'll be judged on according to what did you do in the way of rewards. What did you do when I was a sick and a prison and a widowed? What did you do when I was a hungered? Well, we didn't know you were any of those things, so we didn't help. Well, I tell you, in that you didn't do it the least of mine, you didn't do it to me. And that's what we're going to be judged on. How much love did you have? And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Sometimes it's a little bit of sacrifice involved in obeying the Lord. Sometimes a whole lot of sacrifice involved in it. But after all, it says, give your body as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Just your body. So now you haven't got enough to worry about. Your body's over there. You have to worry about all the things your body wants. I'm not trying to simplify that because your body will always go on wanting things. And I'm so glad you're here today. I'm really glad you're here today, Donna. And you know what? You are listening like a great big Grecian sponge. Just pray with me, Donna. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. Now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And you know what you'll get from this? You'll get peace beyond even your thoughts, right in the middle of all your thoughts. You're going to have times when you'll be thinking, you know, be traumatic times that'll come in again and everything. But still, if you think back on the way you were, as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got peace. I really know in just my life and what it's been in 15 stormy years since I've been saved. And, you know, and then almost 40 years of stormy life before that. That the only peace I ever had in the whole of my life was when I come to decide. It wasn't that I really made the decision. Jesus helped me to decide. See, you can't even make that decision on your own. And isn't it a funny thing how people just meet each other? Do you think that just happened? No, it didn't just happen. It was foreordained of God. God, the Bible's so beautiful. It says, I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. Spiritually speaking, God knew you before all this world was. Spiritually speaking. And when we go home, we're going to go home, and it says, if we're here when the rapture happens, it says, we will be taken up in the air, and we'll know all things because we will be made like him. Means we become part of the glory of God. And that's why we have to change. Our bodies will change, it says, in the air. Because there's no way that you could withstand the glory of God. A couple times in my ministry, I got touches around where the glory of God was. And I pretty near had a heart attack right down here. I mean, it was so strong, the love of the Lord in my automobile and the touch of God in there. And there was such a feeling of total peace and yet pressure of the love of God. I went home and I said, you know what? I said, I believe if God would have gave me all of his love, I would have died right there. Because I kept asking every day until I felt. I says, I want to feel your love. Feel it. And finally it happened in that car. And I went for a whole year like that. And I was picking up people and getting them saved and doing everything and being happy about it and so on like that. And I just wanted it. I just really desired that to have that feeling.